Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had some assignments over the weekend on Friday. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment: review the statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions, RL what you see. Example, voices, I can't take this on. It's asking too much of me. Belief, my capacity to give is finite. Saturday, before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment: review the various statements from the voices you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. Record and listen to what you see. Example: Miss Rant, why doesn't he get that I'm maxed out and can't take on another thing? Can't he see how much I'm doing already? Maxed out. I just don't have it in me to take that on. I can't do one more thing. Why do people assume that I have infinite time and willingness? Accommodating. Just listen. Is that really too much to ask? You can't say no. It would hurt his feelings. He needs your help. It's the right thing to do. And finally, how could you? You snapped at her. It's not her fault that she wants your attention. How can she know you're worn out? And then on Sunday, our definition of a subpersonality or aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs, assumptions, and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Assignment: take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you, and from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month, RL what you notice. Example, accommodating's worldview is that a good person gives whatever is asked, whenever it's asked, whatever the cost. It's important to prioritize the other person's needs over one's own needs. It's selfish to deny any person's request. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller? They might be
done. Unmuting.
First caller? Okay. Well, let me try someone else. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Uh-oh. Ah. I hear the sounds of a person.
I don't know if, you know what, Sherry, let me just, I don't know if there's something going on with the...
Ashwini?
I think
the monastery was unmuted.
Oh, thanks, Jen.
That's not on purpose.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's try this again, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow.
Oh, you know, here. I think I found what the issue was, so let's try this again. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Rebecca from the monastery.
Oh.
Yay!
It's tricky.
Yes, it's tricky.
All right.
System.
Yeah.
Yes, Yes, so the assignment from Friday was the one that just sort of knocked my socks off. The assumption, seeing an assumption, and the assumption that emerged into my awareness was that always thinking about others is how not to be selfish.
Mm.
Yeah. Does that feel like just a really powerful assumption to have? Like to have in
not
play.
To have noticed.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Could have a big effect on a life, huh? As you've noticed.
Yes, exactly. And the subsequent exercises, the subpersonalities and all of that, it was like pulling up that one assumption just pulled up all kinds of other things with it, all of the aspects of the ego I, the accommodator and the calculator and the what was the other one that was so? Oh yeah, this one subpersonality of the great distributor, the distributor of everything. The one, you know, this uh-huh. group needs this. All of those stem from this assumption that if attention really needs to be on others. That's the uh-huh. right virtuous.
Because
good.
Because that's what means you're not selfish. Which
exactly.
means, because selfish means you're the wrong person. So if you're not selfish, you're going to be the right person. So how do you do that? Because being the right person, remember, if we follow that out, that means that you'll be acceptable and you'll be loved. So mm-hmm. very important that all of those line up.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes. All very important.
Go ahead.
Mhm. Well, just very important that that lines up.
Okay.
Like,
and so what did you, when you saw that that's not true, that assumption doesn't mean that,
mm-hmm.
was there something there? Or was that you just reeled?
Well, I did reel for a while, but and what was there under the reeling was this makes sense. Why? Let's see how to say it. So, what was preventing me, for lack of a better pronoun, from going diving deeply into the heart of was that knee-jerk karmic assumption that no, attention must be out there. And that explains all the judgments. It explains, because once you put attention out there and, quote, think of others, then that just opens the door wide for any kind of thought. Yeah, every now and then it'll be a, quote, altruistic thought, but it's also it's what Jill said on Friday, I think it was, that the judgment of this person who was hosing down their patio furniture, it's like, you know, why are they using so much water? You know, it opens the door to all of that one assumption.
Yes. While you still remain a selfless person.
Yeah, and ostensibly, right? You mean, because that's in quotes.
Yeah. Well, that's the assumption. So
yes.
The attention is out there. So now, good, you're not selfish. And of mm-hmm. course, then what you didn't get to see is how utterly self-centered that focus is, because it's only egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, looking out there in quotes at others, quotes, and mm-hmm. it's completely self-serving.
Yes, it is completely mm-hmm. egocentric. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a helpful one.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And can I just add one other thing that I saw about this whole process we're doing before I hang up? That you know, you often say, Sherry, that the Buddha developed his own language, because you know, just mm-hmm. language just. And it feels to me like that's exactly what we're doing with all this on a process level. We are releasing, like we are redefining giving. We are redefining receiving. We're redefining control. All of those things it's like creating our own language, freeing up these words to be what they actually are, and or at least in this experience. And I just think that's why I keep being, and we all keep being, so inspired by this process. It's so liberating in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Because as you're indicating, we think we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because we're using thinking, we're referring to thinking. And when we realize that what we're referring to is just a mass of unexamined beliefs and assumptions, then the doors open wide.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Go happy.
Bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Rebecca. I love that, Cherry, because what I heard in the redefinition of selflessness versus selfishness is attention on the ego self is selfishness. It has actually nothing to do with giving.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's really what we arrive at, that anything that has any attention on ego makes it self-centered.
Yes. And the most fiendish part of ego is it's so difficult to realize that we're looking through ego's eyes. So when we look through ego's eyes, ego is defining everything. It's determining everything. And we think we're seeing clearly. So of course we accept what we see.
Well, and this process of diagramming the process of suffering, I mean, the way we're doing it in the year-long retreat is to give us a sense of when we are in conditioned mind, because those are the clues that assist us to become aware of I'm looking through ego eyes. And the thing that dropped in about beliefs, I mean, we say this all the time, a belief divides the world into a duality, right? Because my world is through that belief is defined through the belief. So if I'm selfless, then everybody is selfish, and I'm always looking for who's selfish and who isn't who isn't, and that's the orientation that I'm in when I look through that. So the comment that Rebecca made is so true, that if attention on others opens up the ability to decide who's selfish and who isn't, I mean, that's a process definition of egocentricity, because it certainly isn't, the attention certainly not on authenticity. And it's on that constant separation between me and the other, or the other
that's
and the
exactly,
other, or attention on ego.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And if we can add another element that makes it all even worse, and that is that beliefs and assumptions are always egocentric because they are dead. They are of an imaginary past. They cannot exist. Assumptions and beliefs cannot exist in the present.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we believe anything, we're up that creek without a paddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. This is Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa. What are you seeing?
Hey. Let's see. I guess what I was seeing was one of the things that I was seeing was one of my subpersonalities is when I think about giving, like giving a donation, is there's the I think I called it the adjudicator. So it's the one who decides if it's a worthy cause, and if it's going to be worthwhile, like is it really going to benefit, you know, is it like is the actual organization or the person deserving, and then is the donation actually going to make a difference? And it feels like, and then sort of recognizing that, it's sort of going back to, or what Ashwini was, that there's like a certain sensation in the body when I'm right there. You know, when I'm identified with that person, there's certain phrases that she uses. There's, okay, we're going to have a plan. We're going to check this out. We're going to do the research. You know, all of that, it's very sort of calm and rational, supposedly. But what it always ends up is into is no donation made. So then it flips to not enough time.
The bottom line conclusion really is.
Yeah, oh, it's just great. Ego's way of just what I see is that it's just a way, there's an impulse, and then it's just a way to squash that down or, you know, get away from that impulse to give. Yeah.
Well, Vanessa, while, as we were just talking about, while you remain the right person, I mean, it's not that you're selfish or ungenerous or any of those. I mean, you did the due diligence. And and so, I mean, any intelligent, rational person would come to the same conclusion.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It's quite fiendish, isn't it?
It is, because there's, that's exactly right. I remain like, well, I'm trying. You know, I really want to, but I can't just, throw the money out the window, you know.
No. And even deeper than that is, I can't just go with every impulse that life drops in.
Yeah.
I mean,
we
have to bring some kind of intelligent discernment to this.
Exactly. That it can't, those impulses, and I, of course, see it everywhere, that those impulses cannot be trusted. They have to be vetted.
Adjudicated.
And
vetted.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And again, and it means, oh, no, you know, one, we ran out of time for that, or time's up, or maybe that wasn't a good, you know, just whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So they just don't happen. Yeah, over and over again, like, no, you can't trust that. Yeah.
Which is really, which is really good, right? Because that's how we eventually see it. It you know, if it buried its plot line, it might get away with it for an entire lifetime. Well, and it does, because most people aren't paying the kind of attention you're paying. But for those of us who are practicing awareness, it keeps running the same scam. And at some point we go, wait a minute, everything can't be a bad idea. So, and besides, it's that worldview. Right, it's the same language, it's the same orientation, it's the same body sensations, it's the same, wait a minute, I have become somebody. Who is this?
Exactly.
Right.
And what it always leads to, which is sort of the final, which is I think where I am finally catching it, is self-hate. So I don't make that donation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a little bit down the road, it's like, hey, you never did do that, you know.
That's right. And, you know, Vanessa, you really are judgmental. I mean, that is the real problem, isn't it? I mean, that is what's wrong with you, is that nobody can meet your standards, right? So you're just holding everybody to these impossible standards. They never meet them, and so you wind up being selfish.
Or
so
you know what, you don't
it?
Really want to live.
Well, it doesn't matter. Once we get to that other side of the duality, there are a lot of things wrong with you. And they all play into this, right? Here's another example. And by the after we parse this one, we can move on to other ways that you are similarly lacking. And it's, of course, the list is endless once it gets us there.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, this is where I have to say it is good to see, isn't it?
It is good to see. I think that's where mm-hmm. I am too. Like, really, like, finally I feel like I finally got this whole subpersonality exercise. Like, oh, this is why. It's the worldview. It's the body sensation. It's the language that they use. And then when you mm-hmm. get there, you're going to be like, aha, I've just, here I am. And now I can just be like, and then turn attention to now. All of that disappears. And
there it is. That's
okay.
It. That's
just
exactly
recognizing it.
That's yeah. right. That, and that's the moment you described it perfectly. That's it. Oh, I know what that is. And you realize
right.
you are not that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Very
yeah.
good. Lovely. Lovely. Lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa. Well,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ashwini.
Go happy. Bye bye.
Thank yeah. you. Okay. There's so much in that, in that, and how it was just laid out. Sherry, the two things that dropped in, though, were one is that moment of disidentification where the process mm-hmm. of diagramming the subpersonality, awareness realizes the identification and the movement away. That's really the whole point of what we're doing, right? That can I be
yes.
aware
yes.
all the time? Because
yes.
then I'm the awareness that registers the conditioning rather than believing what the conditioning says or be limited by my conditioning to do what I'm supposed to do from that worldview, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
mm-hmm.
not that in that realm of awareness, there isn't a process of intelligence informing me whether I give a donation or not. That's not really the point. It's not the content that's the point, but the process that you were pointing to of squashing every impulse that's a life impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's the bottom line. That's what it's actually all about. The rest is just whatever we'll fall for.
That's right. Well, and the thing is, you know, Sherry, because if I follow that impulse and give that money, then that's what happens, rather than somehow my well-being or the well-being of the universe being dictated by the merit of my action. Was that the right
That's
organization?
Right.
Did the organization actually benefit? Do I have any control over any of it? But that notion that somehow or the other, it has to be the right choice. And in
That's
life's
right.
world, the right choice is following the life impulse. It doesn't really matter
That's
what the consequence is, right?
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
what we
there's that impulse from life, and of course, ego jumps in and says, "Yeah, but what if it's not from life? What if it's from God help us all ego?"
Yeah.
And what we're getting to is, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes,
yeah.
right? If yeah. I get into the, but is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? I'm doomed. So yeah. I don't actually care. I give the money to an organization, and they're scam artists. I don't care. It wasn't my money in the first place.
Right.
Right. But
yeah.
I'm not having that conversation with ego. That's the thing I know.
And I don't want to face what will happen or how I am with myself as a consequence of that happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. That endless litany of, well, and this is wrong with you, and you made that mistake, and that's what happened, and you did that, and oh, no, 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 no. Here, have the money.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine. What are you seeing?
Well, I saw this belief that because I practice awareness, I don't get to have likes and dislikes anymore, and I don't get to say no to life. So if life offers something, ask something of me for, you know, mm-hmm. for a donation, as an example, or a contribution of my time or whatever, I don't get to say no.
Mm-hmm.
That's nonsense, but at the same time, it does feel like that sometimes. And I think I sort of believe it.
Well, when we're identified with ego, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And so my response to that would be, well, of course you can Of course you can do liking and disliking. Of course you can say no to life. We do that just as long as we are willing to suffer the consequences. There's no, you know, this is not a theistic orientation, right? This is not, you're going to be judged and punished, right? We punish ourselves through our choices. And as long as we want to be identified with ego, we can do whatever we want.
So,
but it's just, you know, Catherine, it's just kind of mature not to gripe about it later. Not to complain and want to be a victim. So I do something that let's say I decide that I want to go out with my friends and I want to go to the local pub and I want to have drinks and I don't care about social distancing or pandemics or masks or anything else. Damn it, it's my life and I want to live it. I want to have some fun, okay? Well, then don't gripe if you get the virus.
Yeah. I see
that. Of course,
that.
I add to that, and don't go to the hospital either, because those poor people that you're going there to inflict this on, they weren't there to make that choice with you. You made that choice. Yeah, okay.
Well, could I give you one that's less charged than going to the pub and spreading the virus? So I volunteered
If I may, yes, you can, if we keep in mind that ego is the only thing in life that wants to play a numbers game. Yes, I'm selfish, but I'm certainly not as selfish as he is. Yes, I'm egocentric, but I'm certainly not as egocentric as she is. That's an ego numbers game. Okay, go ahead.
Is there ever a way to know that the human, you know, really that's not a direction the human needs to go in? That's really not something the human needs to give?
Nope, because only ego wants to know that. And only ego thinks it owns a human.
Okay, I'm thoroughly confused. I'll admit.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, so here's a good definition of awareness practice. Okay? We are waking up and ending suffering. The only way we can know how we are made to suffer, because suffering is not inherent in life. Suffering is something ego adds. Okay? So the only way we're going to see that is by having the experiences that show us. So what ego says is, I don't want to have those experiences. Why? Well, because if I have those experiences, you're going to see what I'm doing, and then you won't choose to do that any longer, and then I, ego, won't continue to be fed.
You know, there's
so,
part of me...
Just let me finish that thought, okay?
Sure.
This is why we don't proselytize. This is why I never say to anybody, you should do this. We do not recommend this to anyone. As my teacher was fond of saying, you know, I never invited you here.
Hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So this is absolutely a choice that everybody makes. You either want to end suffering or you don't. Now, along that continuum of getting there, you can have all kinds of experiences. It's absolutely up to you. There is nobody, as far as I know, if there is, I don't know about it, there is no holy figure judging you and deciding whether that was, so if you don't want to do something, don't do it. But for God's sake, pay attention and see what your experience is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not sure I'm committed to waking up and ending suffering.
Well, the person I'm talking to certainly isn't. but you're identified with ego. And so ego is arguing for limitations and how, you know, I don't want to and why do I have to? And so then when push comes to shove, well, I don't want to wake up in insuffering. Well, of course ego doesn't want to wake up in insuffering, for God's sake. That's not even a debate. But here's the thing, Catherine. When you disidentify from that, don't let the same voices beat you up for having been identified with ego. Just pay really close attention.
Okay.
That's what the world looks like. That's what it feels like to be identified with ego. It's called suffering. You're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. This is what it feels like. It's very helpful to watch it. It's very helpful to know that. And so here you are suffering along. At some point you're going to say, now, is this really what I want to do? Do I want to cling to this? I don't want to do that. I don't like that. Do I really want to pay the price that I'm currently paying for holding on to that? At some point you're going to say, actually, no, I don't. I would rather not do that, and I would rather end suffering because I'm sick of suffering.
I can really see all the dissatisfaction.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's miserable. But ego is happy with misery. It's a hog and flop. It loves it. The more miserable you are, the better it likes it. It doesn't want to end suffering. It doesn't want you to stop doing this. It is dissatisfaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what it feels like. That's back to what we were talking about with the laying out the aspects of the personality. How does it feel in your body? What are the voices saying? What does the world look like? Okay, we break down that whole thing and we go, huh? I think I know what that is. Huh?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mhm. Okay. Well, thank you.
You are so welcome. Anytime.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Catherine. I think we should continue this discussion, you know, Sherry, because there's always the confusion of becoming aware means that I have to execute on what my awareness is, right? So I really need the answer to whether I can and cannot like something or whether in this situation it's a yes to life or not, which isn't the point.
Right.
Yeah. And it's so hard not to go there, right?
Oh!
And we're identified, yeah.
Kalpas of ego identification we're coming out of. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's why I want to stress no hard feelings.
Yeah.
Right? So if I just fall into this giant pit of self-hatred and then one day I wake up from it, okay, here we are now. Let's move on.
Yeah, and the point of exercising a preference, as you pointed to, is just to pay attention to what happens if there's suffering around it. If there's suffering around it, I get to drop it. If there's no suffering around it, I get to watch that, right? But not conclude anything about following or not following preferences.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of a fascinating show, Sherry, and here's our assignment. Go back and review the conversation in your head that you've jotted down about this focus so far to see if there were any voices you've not captured. Example, voice missing. Perhaps I'll have more energy if I take a break and eat something. RL, what you see.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.